So one of the requirements to become a Unitarian Universalist minister is you need to do about 300 hours of chaplaincy, which means that usually you spend it in a hospital. How many of you have ever been visited by a hospital chaplain before? A few of you. So usually they're this being that kind of emerges randomly, knocks on your door, asks you if you want to talk or pray or do something, and then leaves and never sees you again. Unless something really serious is happening. And then they're always there, and so they can kind of become like the Grim Reaper. Like, why is the chaplain here? There's one particular experience that I had when I was a chaplain. And it was visiting an elderly woman. And we don't know much about any of the patients. We know basically, you know, if they have an identified religion, their age, that's about it. You might be able to guess based on what ward they're on, like what they might be in the hospital for. But even then, I tried not to know. I like to go in kind of fresh without assumptions or judgments. So I remember going into this room, and I introduced myself. She was open to a visit, and so I sat down and we started talking. It wasn't very long before she told me, in very direct words, that she was one of the right types of Christians. I was like, okay. And we don't have any like religious affiliation on, so like she doesn't know anything about me. But she tells me that she is one of the right types of Christians. And then she goes on to qualify this by saying, I'm one of the right types of Christians that we don't believe in gay marriage. Now, I don't know if I was acting or dressed particularly gay in that moment that would have elicited such a reaction, but she said this with a deep eye contact as she looked at me. And I responded graciously, you know, accepting her truth, putting my kind of, you know, slight injury about that, being a queer person, you know, to the side. This wasn't about me. This was about her in this moment. You know, being in the hospital can be one of the worst days of your life, one of the worst times in your life. And so you don't need someone else's baggage showing up, you know, debating you theologically, right? A Jehovah's Witness couple did try to convert me, though. That was another visit. But anyways. But in that moment, I was just struck with this question of, like, what does truth mean, right? Like, she had a truth about what was important to her. I had a truth about what was important to me. What did it mean in the midst of this moment? Like, did being right or being wrong actually matter in terms of sitting down, asking the question, how are you doing? Did it really matter? Like, what would the function of debating that or trying to find the ultimate answer? I feel like we're caught a lot right now in this question of truth, right? What's true and what's not? A lot of times it comes down to facts. Is the facts true or the facts not true? We fact check our politicians. And sometimes I forget, like, what a fact is. Right? As I was sitting up there trying to figure out what I was going to say, I was like trying to come up with a definition of what a fact is. And the best I could come up with was like, a fact is some sort of verified data point. Right? Like, we've all decided that we can measure temperature by Fahrenheit, apparently. And so right now, it is this temperature. We've all agreed on something, we've agreed on how to measure something, and then we measure it, and it says something. Facts are really variable. Or verifiable, I should say. But the truth is something greater, right? The truth is not just about facts. It goes further than that. It makes a claim that's beyond just a few data points. It says something about how the data points conspire to take the form, to comport themselves to a reality that's higher than just their individual points, but something that's actually much harder to verify, right? Truth is a little bit beyond that which is instantaneously variable. So, I'm going to read you the prompt that I got. If no religion is the divine truth, which parts of all religions are closest to the divine truth? And as part of the sermon, does mankind fit into the divine as it relates from the past looking into the future. This is an amazing sermon series. Thank you, whoever wrote this. Right? 3 minutes, perfect. But I was really struck with this. So both times that this person wrote divine truth, they put it in quotes. And I'm like, what would divine truth be? If facts are verifiable data points and truth is something that comports to reality, divine truth must be something that, like, comports to the ultimate reality, like somehow factors in everything that is ever and finds a way to bring it together. And we often, in our liberal circles, talk about how there maybe are many paths to the same goal, right? We talk about different world religions. We say, well, each of us has our own way. We have a different path. Some of us are seeking it through Christianity, through Islam, through Buddhism, through maybe humanism, atheism. But all of us are actually moving to the same point. We talk about this a lot. It's a way of saying that there's a common thread, that there's a piece of divine truth in each of the world's religions. But I'm not actually sure if that's true, per se. Because if you look at the world's religions, some of them are drastically different. I mean, think about Buddhism. The central tenet of Buddhism is that life is suffering, and that the way to escape suffering is to basically escape the cycle of existence and not exist. The central tenet of Christianity is that our beings may be resurrected in some future state if we comport ourselves to the judgments of some god. Very different end games, right? Non-existence, eternal heaven. Very different goals, very different ways of achieving those goals. And in fact, there may be easier to say that there are many paths and many goals. That in fact, when we are looking at different truths, we're trying to find the truths in other people, in other religions, much of the time we may actually be trying to comport their truth into a convenient container for ourselves. Trying to make what they believe seem kind of like what we believe, or similar to what, or understandable enough for us so that we can see some sort of common kinship. Which creates a really false way of relating to each other if the only way we can relate to one another is if there is that similarity. The only similarities that I can see at their core of what something that might be called divine truth or even just truth is that at their core, each of these religions are humans trying to make sense of things. There's a humility in our humanity at the core of it. I remember sitting with another patient. I was in Boston. Boston's very Catholic. So almost the every end of every visit with a patient, we would say the Lord's Prayer. So I'm sitting there, and I ask if we want to pray. And the person says yes. And so we start praying. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our, and I said, trespasses. And they said, debts. We didn't really pause, but we continued. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, debts, as we forgive those, and I said, our debtors. And the person I was visiting said, trespasses. Maybe there's something there. Maybe trying on each other's work is where we find something akin to divine truth. But only when we can truly separate ourselves from thinking we understand it in the first place. Amen.